It's Financial Freedom Friday, and on this episode of the Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks podcast, we are going to uncover 7 ways to invest in real estate.
Hey Mavericks, this is Ava Baukamp, and this episode of Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks is brought to you by Legacy Impact Investors. We are an industrial investment firm located in cash flow country, the Midwest. We strive to shield off risk and beat inflation, all while producing predictable cash flow. We curate real estate investment opportunities for busy professionals and other real estate investors seeking passive income. To learn more about what we do and connect with me, go to www.legacyimpactinvestors.com.
Maverick, noun, unusual person, a visionary, leader, go-getter, an independent thinker. They see the vision for their life and pull that future towards them with an unyielding belief that things can and must be better. They achieve what most won't. Innovative, influential, daring, and direct, with a remarkably high tolerance for taking calculated risk. A foe to the status quo. This is Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks. Your host, Neil Timmons, has been involved with over $300 million in real estate transactions. He's a published author, commercial property investor, and real estate syndicator. This show is for those who want to learn how to earn passive income through real estate investing. Now, here's your host, Neil Timmons.
Welcome to the Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks podcast, where we provide actionable steps for you to grow your passive income and become job optional. It's Financial Freedom Friday, and I'm here with Neil Timmons. During this episode, you are going to uncover 7 ways to invest in real estate. For those of you who are new, I'm your host, Ava Baukamp, and I love to educate investors about passive income from real estate. Before I open up today's episode, I want to ask you for a small favor. If you like what you're hearing, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to the show so that you never miss a valuable episode. And if you love what you're hearing, please give us a written review. Also, be sure to take a look at the description of the episode as we have it packed with thousands of dollars in free resources. All right, Neil, it's another Financial Freedom Friday here in our Agent Optional Wealth Accelerator series. How are you doing?
I'm doing terrific. And this has been a really fun series, and the feedback we're getting is terrific from agents. So I'm excited for today's conversation.
Yes. As a quick reminder, if you're just jumping into the series halfway through, we are running a whole series targeted towards elite real estate agents, people who earn a great income as a real estate agent, but they're curious about how to invest in real estate. So we've got a series of episodes here, a playbook for you, cut through the jargon, cut through the noise, and help you get started on your real estate investing journey off on the right foot. And if you aren't an agent, I'm sure you're going to find a lot of value in this series as well. We're doing a super practical breakdown. And today we're going to cover 7 ways to invest in real estate. And I wanted to kick it off with some data. So CNBC reports that 1 in 5 workers in the US have left behind or forgotten inactive 401k retirement accounts with average balances of $55,400 at previous jobs. That's a lot of money to just forget in the corner.
Forget. And when you have options and the ability to control that money and place it as you so choose in many cases. And I think that's a perfect setup for today's conversation where we're taking this.
Yeah. So if you are an agent and you had a previous job with a 401k, just take a quick moment, pause this episode, and write yourself a note. If you think you may have left a 401k behind somewhere, get that on your list of to-do things for this weekend, because that's super important that you don't leave that money to collect dust somewhere else. So why are we talking about different account types and how does this apply to investing in real estate? So as a quick reminder, we're talking about syndications. And as an agent, this means that you don't need to find, put under contract, renovate, place tenants, manage properties on your own with your own money. At a high level, syndications are a vehicle that allows investors with an experienced operator to pool their money together to purchase larger properties. And as an agent, this is a great vehicle for you. It helps you maximize your time so you don't have to go out and find properties on your own. You can create passive income so you can become agent optional on your own terms and protect the wealth that you've worked so hard to create. So Before we get into those seven different options you have to invest, just a reminder, we're not your financial advisor. We're not CPAs. We're not giving you professional advice. Always talk to your qualified professional. This is for your education, and we hope it's super beneficial to you. So what kinds of accounts can invest in real estate and in real estate syndications? First up is cash. This one's pretty obvious. And for a lot of people, it's an easy place to start off the bat. It's the most liquid. You can move quickly and efficiently into any investing opportunity that's before you. There's no restrictions. And a reason to invest with cash that you maybe have sitting in an account somewhere is to help you mitigate inflation that's burning a hole through that idle stack of cash.
Cash is the easiest one. And actually, if you've got cash to put to work, great, to get that thing employed. And if you don't, well, guess what? We've got six other account options here, six other ways in which you may have money other places, perhaps cash not being one of them.
Yeah. Number two, self-directed IRAs. This is a pretty popular option for a lot of agents because they have to have a self-directed IRA in the first place. And you have some additional benefits to investing in real estate with a self-directed IRA. You have tax advantages depending on what account type it is, a Roth or a traditional. You can have tax deferred or even tax-free growth. And this allows you within your self-directed IRA to diversify. So to diversify into real assets, into real property. And it gives you a lot of control over what you invest in from a real estate perspective, because you choose what properties, what opportunities you invest in. Perhaps you want to invest in the Midwest. That's what we like. And you like the stable returns, more stable markets, and the steady growth that a lot of Midwest markets provide. You have the option to direct your investments accordingly. And it's quite simple to invest in a syndication from a self-directed IRA. But Neil, I want you to talk a little bit about depreciation as it relates to self-directed IRAs.
Yeah, so it's giant pros, but there's not always, there's some cons that come with it. But I'm going to say a con with an asterisk. How about that? So the con is you can't take depreciation, right? It's a self-directed IRA. IRAs don't take depreciation. I mean, there's no benefit of depreciation in your IRA since you're not paying tax on the IRA as you go along like you do individually. The but is this. For certain types of investments, typically if it's a short-term type thing, it can make a lot of sense. So it's always a function of what do you want to accomplish. Let me give you an example of how it could look different. This is where the asterisk comes in. So in a syndication, there may be different share classes. So let's say Class A and Class B. Class A may get a preferred return of 8% and they may take their pro rata share of depreciation. So great if you have cash and you get to take the benefit of depreciation. But there may be a second class. You may have Class B in this syndication in which instead of it being an 8% preferred return, it's a 9% preferred return, but you don't get depreciation. Well, that's a perfect setup for somebody who has money in an IRA. They want to put it to work. They get a bump in terms of that preferred return and they don't get depreciation, which they don't need or can use anyway. The benefit to those in Class A then, of course, is they get more depreciation, which is why they have a lower preferred return. So there's multiple ways to skin that cat, if you will, to leverage the IRA to make it best for you. That, Ava, you opened the top of the show with that fact that one in five workers in the past have left their IRAs, right? Their 401ks behind. Well, this is a perfect way to capture that by taking that IRA from a previous job that you had, making it self-directed so that you can direct how those investments go, whether it's into real estate or something else.
Yeah. And that's the great thing about having these wide variety of options is you can also pick the investment strategy that works best with that specific account type or investment type that you have available to you. So number three is a health savings account. So maybe your spouse has a health savings account. Did you know you can actually invest in a syndication in real estate with a health savings account? Your contributions to a health savings account are tax deductible. Your earnings can grow tax-free, and qualified withdrawals are tax-free when they're used for medical expenses. So somewhat similar to a self-directed IRA. Neil, do you have any thoughts about investing with a health savings account?
I think for most people, they just kind of forget about it. And if they're investing in putting money into a health savings account and not drawing on it for medical needs, before you know it, that thing can grow to a pretty sizable amount, which you can employ.
Yeah, that's great. Up next, number four, solo 401k. Again, a popular option for real estate agents who have to have their own 401k retirement savings option. And it can have higher contribution limits for you compared to your IRA, so you can stash cash and then invest in real estate from there.
Inside that solo 401k, it's a terrific option for agents putting a plan in place for themselves or themselves and their spouse. And oftentimes they end up with two options, a traditional provision and also a Roth provision in the solo 401k.
Yeah, that's great. Up next, number five. This option takes a little bit more time, but if you have stocks and bonds that you want to convert to invest in real estate, you can sell some of them, sell a portion, capture that so you can diversify outside of the stock market, outside of the bond markets, reallocate once you've sold those, and invest in real estate, help balance out your portfolio, and get you invested in some real assets that you can understand and evaluate for yourself. And Neil, you have a pro tip for agents who are considering this option.
Yeah, if you're going to go down that path and consider that option, you know, one of the best ways to do this is to sell your dogs, as they say. Sell the losses in that portfolio so that way you take the loss on paper. You're going to realize that loss. You can reduce your taxable income in many cases by doing that as you roll that money in to diversify into real estate.
Awesome. Up next, number six is a line of credit. So maybe you have a house, your house is paid off, or you have a vacation home, or maybe you own a rental, and you can take a line of credit against one of those assets. It's a lot of opportunity, like for our science listeners, potential energy that's sitting there and it's not doing anything. So you can take a line of credit and you can actually use those funds to invest. This is a good option if you want to act quickly. When you want to place an investment, you can take that line of credit out. And once you're completely through that investment, either continue with that line of credit or close that out once you're all done.
For some people, they hear that and they just get a little shell shock. We just did an episode a few weeks back talking about one's risk profile. And this lines up perfectly for that conversation. I know plenty of folks who are on each side of the spectrum. One who wants everything paid off, never want to owe anybody anything. The other side is, they love debt. They always want to employ debt at a reasonable level because they want the benefit of inflation working for them and inflation working to reduce their liabilities, reduce debt down. There's no right or wrong. It's only a function of what's right for you. And understanding your particular risk profile will go a long way in terms of how you apply the strategies which we've laid out here. Are you a passive real estate investor seeking financial freedom? Well, today's market's unique and it's ever-changing. Now is the time to get educated on how to strategically invest in commercial real estate for long-term financial freedom. Grab your copy of How to Passively Invest in a Changing Economic Environment. Go to www.mavericksinvest.com.
Up next, our very last one, number seven, is whole life insurance. And this one gives you some tax-deferred, possibly tax-free advantages, and you can take out a loan against, well, you really lend the money to yourself against the cash value of the policy and then put that money into a real estate investment while also having your cash value continue to build up as a possible investment source later. So go ahead. I know you've been really diving into this recently.
Those who are familiar with infinite banking, and we've done a couple of episodes on it, infinite banking. This is right in that line of infinite banking, having a whole life policy that has a cash value associated with it and borrowing from that cash value to employ it inside of real estate while you pay yourself back. Use that somewhat in quotes because it uses a life insurance policy and mechanism to do that, to pay your policy back, to be able to grow that inside the policy as well.
Yeah. Neil, I'm going to put you a little bit on the spot here. For those who aren't familiar with how whole life works, or maybe they've heard a lot of Dave Ramsey saying, no whole life, only term life. Can you talk a little bit about like how does this actually work if you were to take out a policy? How does that actually help you invest in real estate?
Yeah, well, there's two functions to a whole life policy. One function is the actual life insurance, and the other function is a cash value associated with the policy. And so you put money in, life insurance continues to grow. In fact, your life insurance, you may start at, make up a number, $5 million policy, and the more you put into it, oftentimes it has some functions that allow you to put more than what you've scheduled, what you're required to put into this. The more you put into it, the higher it grows in terms of what your death benefit is. And at the same time, it's growing a cash value associated with that. in which oftentimes you have access to, say, 90% of that cash value to allow you to do, well, really just about anything with it. You borrow that money out of the account and you're going to pay that account back, which helps grow your cash value. So you can do things like invest in real estate. You can pay off a house. You can pay for kids' college. You literally, it's your money. You can literally do anything you want with that.
Yep, that's great. So 7 ways to invest in real estate. I'm going to quickly just run over our list. You have cash, self-directed IRA, health savings account, solo 401k, selling stocks and bonds to invest, a line of credit, or whole life insurance. So we wanted to give you an overview of, okay, cool, what does this process actually look like? So you've selected the account type, the vehicle that works best for you. What can you actually expect? So how this would work is you are connected with a general partner team, someone like Neil or I, and we present an opportunity to you. So you're made aware of an investment opportunity. This will usually be in the form of an email. 123 Main Street is an industrial building in our hometown in Des Moines. It's a triple net property. And we're going to run a live webinar in 2 weeks so you can see our whole presentation and ask us questions live. So that's the first step. You're made aware of an opportunity. Then you attend whatever presentation is available. This should be live so that you can actually ask the general partner team questions. And they should highlight at least 5 pillars of the deal. They should talk about the market. They should talk about the property itself, the building, the physical structure, the business plan, and what your investor returns are. So once you've attended it, you evaluate the opportunity. You are in the driver's seat here. You get the opportunity to review, is this an investment that meets my financial goals, or is this something I'm going to pass on? You can review the whole presentation, all of the legal documents. You can email that sponsor team questions. You can schedule a call, get clarification on any concerns and questions that you may have. The key here is that you're the decision maker. You decide what to invest in with your money. Let's say you're ready to invest. In our case, this means you go to a secure investor portal. You can review all of those legal documents again and electronically sign. This is where your account type will start to come into play. You can designate how you're going to invest, either as an individual, jointly with a spouse, even through an LLC. And so that's where you initiate the beginning of your investment. Depending on the offering type, there may be an additional step. For a 506B, the general partner team, once you've electronically signed everything, they will review all of your documents. If they determine that you're qualified to invest, you have a personal relationship with them, they review, everything's a thumbs up, then they will countersign your legal documents as well. And that's when you're able to invest. So have that financial information ready. And you can securely send your investment through an ACH, through a check, perhaps through a wire. Once you've signed all of your paperwork, it's been countersigned by the general partner team, you've made your investment, then you're good to go. They will confirm, yes, we've got your investment, and they will update you when the property is closed. That's it. So you get notified of a deal, you're presented with a deal, you analyze it and review it. You ask any clarifying questions that you have. Make sure you get any and all of your questions answered. You sign investment documents based on how you're going to invest. Then your investment documents are countersigned. You submit your investment via whatever funding source you choose. You've got at least 7 options that we've given you here today. Then the general partner team will confirm that your investment is received, and then the property closes. So we wanted to outline the steps for you because it can be a little bit confusing about how this actually all works in real life. So here are some concluding thoughts for you as we wrap up this episode today. Consider how you will want to invest. Are you going to be investing as an individual, jointly with a spouse? Maybe you have an LLC. And then determine your investment source. This is important because sometimes moving funds out of certain account types can take a little bit of time. And if you are presented with an opportunity that you want to invest in, the worst thing that could happen is you identify an opportunity you really like, you want to invest in it, but then you get told, well, you can't get access to your money for another 21 days or something crazy. So you want to make sure that those funds are available to you and talk to a plan provider, your account manager, whoever you need to connect with to make sure you know the steps that have to happen in order for you to really have those funds as liquid as you need them to be so that when you identify an opportunity that fits for you, helps you meet your financial goals, you are ready to go.
So why does the liquidity matter? You've touched on that, Ava. It's because when you're presented with an opportunity, oftentimes, like for us, when we present you and a multitude of other people with an opportunity, there's only so much money that's needed. We're buying a piece of property. It's X million dollars, whatever the number happens to be. And we have to raise for so much. And as soon as you hit that number, you don't need another $1 million. That's the number that one has to hit. So as soon as everything that you've outlined, Ava, is done, executed, the money's in, that's as soon as we hit the final number, that's it. There's just nothing else that's needed. And so the intent of this is to outline that for you so you have a deep understanding of what that looks like and know what our site is looking for when it comes to raising. So you want to make sure that if you know that's something you want to participate in, what you have to do in order to be able to do it.
Yeah. My last thought here is just keep in mind, every opportunity you review has to fit your lifestyle. It has to serve your lifestyle and your financial goals. Not every investment opportunity is a good fit for every investor. And that doesn't mean that the opportunity is necessarily good or bad. It just means that it's not the right fit for you. And as an investor in real estate and real estate syndications, you're in the driver's seat. You are in control of that decision to say, this is an investment that's good for me, and I'm ready to move forward at that time so I can help meet and hopefully exceed those financial goals that I've set for me and my family.
To our listeners, pat yourself on the back. You guys have made it to the end of the show, and most people never finish what they start. If you receive value from today's show, be sure to share it on LinkedIn, your Facebook page, or your social media platform of choice. Subscribe to never miss a valuable episode in the future. And if you found value in today's episode, give us a thumbs up with a positive review. If there's a particular topic you'd like to hear about, well, I want to hear from you. Shoot me a message on LinkedIn. The link to my profile is below in the show notes. You can connect with me there for more valuable content.